Hey. All right, a little Mo for the kids. Yep, that's how we do it. But anyway, we're all running a little late today, so I figured I'd throw that 7-minute song on and get everybody a chance to catch up. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Ken Landon. I am the host of the Hudson Valley Tap Talk Show. I do this the third Tuesday of every month, and it's been a great pleasure. I think it's already a year I've been doing this, so it's been fun, a lot of fun. Like I said, we were all running a little late today, so we needed some extra time to prepare ourselves. And then while we were preparing ourselves, we poured ourselves a nice beer and kind of were sipping that. But I wanted to introduce my guest, and I want to thank you for coming up the thruway in the pouring rain, Justin.
No problem, Ken. Thank you for having me on.
So we got Justin Riccobono. Where's this new card? Where is this fancy new card he just handed me? Look at this. Hudson Valley Hops. Justin Riccobono from Hudson Valley Hops is here today. And we're going to talk some hops. We're going to find out what's going on down there at Dutch's Hops. Justin's been on a couple times here before, and the progress that they've made down there is so phenomenal that I thought that it would be a great time, especially this time of year, you know, moving into the fall and getting into the winter, that we could talk about what these guys are doing down there. So, welcome back, Justin. Thank you really for making the trip up. I know it's not that close for you, man. I know it's.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Ken, to be on the show.
So, I mean, get into it, man. What's going on? I mean, tell us what's happening. These are beautiful cards. Oh, look, hoptometrist. That's.
I like that a lot.
What does one have to do to become a hoptometrist? That's what I want to know.
You know, you really need to have the vision for hops, and really taking it to the level of where this whole revolution here in the Hudson Valley is going. And in the last 2 years, we've made some unbelievable strides. You know, as co-founder of Dutch's Hops with Carmine, we really kicked it off with that project, you know, a little over 2 years ago. And this year we had our first big harvest of about, actually not that big, but, you know, it takes a couple of years for the hops to fully mature. But we got about 350 pounds of dried hops that we harvested, and we were like sold out before we even harvested. So it was amazing. And all the breweries here in the Hudson Valley have been fantastic supporters of what we're doing. We've had a lot of people that have interest in growing hops as well. So we actually put together the first commercial hop farm at Dutch's Hops, put our plants in the ground in spring of 2013. And now there are approximately 10 hop farms here in the Hudson Valley. We've helped 4 other farms get started, and 2 more this year we've consulted with, and I'm actually working on developing an additional 3 farms this fall. So
that's awesome. That is awesome. That's so great to hear. That's really, really resurgent. The resurgence of it is coming back. So you guys are basically, you're running around, you're setting up these small farms, and you're doing the participating in the harvesting, because I know one of the big things was the biggest, I guess, hurdle in the hop industry was the harvesting.
Right.
I know it's extremely expensive. The equipment is expensive. It's like anything else, right? But I know you guys, the last we had spoken, you had a couple of, you know, like you said, you had a couple of farms on board. You were working with them as being the, I guess, the main harvester. Is there a terminology for that? Where
Well, there's the picker.
The picker.
The picker is actually what processes the hop binds through a machine. It strips the binds down and separates the cones and leaves from the bind and then sorts that out. That particular piece of equipment can cost anywhere from $30,000 to maybe $70,000. For every farm to have that, it's quite, you know, quite problematic. So the idea for Hudson Valley Hops to come on board and to really work with all the different farms that are out there and act as a consultant, work with them, so we could share equipment, both the picker and the packaging system, the pelletizer, which we're going to be getting into. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, next year for 2015. But being able to do that really makes it brings a lot more sense into getting into hop farming for a lot of farms. And also handling the distribution, becoming a single point of contact for all the brewers.
So essentially, you're like the you're creating a main hub, surrounding yourselves with a you know, a bunch of smaller farms that are, you know, obviously going to grow.
Yes.
And then they're going to send them to you, and you're going to do the drying. You're going to do the harvesting, the drying, packaging, and then shipping them out from where you're at.
Yes. We're going to look at offering all of those types of services through the cooperative. Some farms may want to handle their own drying and harvesting. It depends on whether they have the equipment or not. And what we figured is 5 farms per picker, let's say, and we could go out there, we could do the entire harvest, the picking, and the drying on site with our mobile unit that we're gonna have, and then take it back and handle all the packaging as well as all the distribution. Most farms and farmers aren't really skilled at selling, so what we're really doing is offering that solution for them too. So
they don't want to be bothered, essentially.
Right. Totally.
They just want to grow.
They want to grow. They want to be on the farm. Last thing they need to do is start going around and trying to, you know, sell the stuff. So we're offering that level of service through the cooperative to make it a lot easier, especially to grow this whole industry back.
That's awesome. Now, do you feel that I know that I like to try and stay out of politics as much as possible, but I also understand that throughout the growth of the agricultural sector of the economy, that do you feel that you're getting some more support and or funding, maybe grant wise from the government? They seem to be recognizing this as something that's some serious business, you know, that potentially could be something absolutely phenomenal that's going to come out of New York State here. So I would, at least on my end, what I'm hearing is that they seem to be more receptive to what's going on in this particular industry. So now you may have some more insight on the funding and or the cooperation from what the government's, you know, I hate using that word, God, but especially when I'm talking about beer. But yeah, I mean, what they're on their end, what they're doing to help us and you in the agricultural sector. So maybe you could touch a little bit on that if there is anything to touch on. I don't know, I figured I'd throw it at you, you know.
No, you're right, Ken. This is really a something that really crosses so many different areas, and politics is definitely one of them. When we first got started with the hop farm at Dutchess Hops, one of the reasons was because of Governor Cuomo's farm brewery bill, which is now bringing on a lot more people are looking to brew and get beer out there. It's helping. It's really helping everybody. A lot of people are like, oh, what about the competition? There's going to be too many breweries. And, you know, eventually there will be a lot more competition. So, you know, brewers are going to have to really create some good beer if they want to stay in the game. But we're only at like, I think right now we're still only at like half of what, like per capita, what like, let's say Colorado is in terms of breweries and or gallons, you know, barrels of beer being made in the state of New York. I mean, New York was essentially the biggest agricultural area in the country, you know, in the 1800s. I mean, we were supplying New York City with all their food, and then it kind of dropped off, and now people are really looking to get back into that, and Hudson Valley is a perfect location. We have some of the best growing conditions, and I've met with agricultural senators and people that work for the governor's office, and they love what's going on. We are kind of in a little bit of a down economy. However, it doesn't seem to be affecting beer whatsoever. And
amen.
You got to go with the flow, and you got to see how you can build your economy and what's hot, and I think we're all kind of on the same page with that.
Now, is the government kind of making available funding for a lot of these smaller farmers who are kind of struggling and not really? I know Cornell Cooperative is vested a lot of time, money, and educational stuff towards this, you know, the hop growing. But you know, if I'm a small farmer and you know we got 10 acres and I decide I want to grow some hops, like, but I don't have the working capital or the financial background, or, you know, how do I go about, you know, the government obviously is playing a big role and part in this now as far as incentives and whatnot. But, I mean, is it a slippery slope? Is it something that an average guy can get into and just say, hey, you know, grant-wise, funding-wise, anything like that? I'm just curious as to how do I do it? You know, I want to grow hops. I don't have any money. The government has got these incentives. So what do we do? How do we get this going?
There's some grants out there. There's some new farmer grants for people that are looking to get into farming that haven't been. I mean, and right now there's a lot of people that are moving up from the city into the region that love the idea of farming. They really don't know much about it, just like you said. But, you know, by getting in contact with your local Cornell cooperative, they could help guide you in the right direction in terms of getting those different types of. I mean, there's a couple of different things. There's, of course, I mean, once you turn your property into a farm, you could save some money on taxes with the farm exemption. And, you know, that helps out. And a lot of people actually do that today. Currently, you see a lot of people farming hay and corn. A lot of those guys really don't make that much money per acre, but if any at all, they're just really trying to keep that that tax incentive by maintaining their farm exemption. However, hops, you can walk away each year making about $10,000 to $15,000, you know, per acre. So, you know, people are looking to diversify existing farms, new farms. There are some programs out there that can, you know, small business loans, definitely, and zero interest, low interest loans. The governor's office and Cornell Cooperative can point people into the right direction for that. But there are a couple of grants out there. There's not many of them, and they're very competitive. But they're also, you know, by getting a lot of that resource and educational information out through the Cornell cooperatives, that really helps out tremendously. There's a big push right now for grains, because grains are definitely a very big challenge for food grade grains to be grown, because they do mold quite easily, and then it's only good for hogs and animals. You know,
right on. Yeah. I think and don't get me wrong, with any startup business, and you know, I've done it, and I know. Don't think that you're just going to wake up one morning and decide to do this. This is something, anything that you have a passion in and you're not money driven, it's going to be a lot of hard work. I'm not saying you're going to walk into Cornell Cooperative or attach yourselves to one of the government grants.
Sure.
And just say, oh, wow, this is going to be simple. No, it's not simple. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of paperwork. Times it by 100. If in your mind what you think it's going to be, times it by 100, and you're going to work 7 days a week, and you know, for something that you love to do. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is that because of the growth of the beverage industry. I mean, it's all along. It's distilleries, it's cideries, it's breweries. Because of the recognition that we're starting to get at this point, I think the government is more sensitive to it and acknowledging the fact that there's potentially incredible growth in this industry. So I think with that, a lot of the doors are starting to open and they're starting to understand a little bit more, which is going to eventually make the funding process, financing processes, hopefully a little bit simpler and easier for the layman to kind of figure out. Because let's face it, man, I mean, if you're a farmer, you're a farmer. I mean, you know, who knows about writing grants and kind of track down money? I mean, that's something that I always thought that there should be more education on that, even going back into the high schools. Hey, I know for a fact, only because I'm in the process of waiting to find out for some funding ourselves over at the brewery. You know, there's $750 million that New York State was allocated for to give out throughout the state of New York, you know. And I think even going back into high school, there should be classes taught about how to access those funds.
Sure.
You know, how do I get my hands on the startup funds needed, and not necessarily going to a financial institution like the bank or the SBA, or, you know, it's free money, although it's matching money, but I mean, it's essentially free money. And I think that's really, really important for small businesses to have access to that, you know.
And we assist new farms in trying to get some of those grants. and loans, as well as there are agriculture exemptions that are out there. Those are some of the features and services we offer at Hudson Valley Hops. You know, because people want to get into this and like, well, how do I save some money? Because it isn't cheap to get in. I mean, it costs you about $20,000 an acre to build a hop farm right out of the gate. So if someone's interested in doing it, I'd say, you know, you really need to think about getting into that 10-acre, eventually into that 10-acre area. Because right now we have close to 25 breweries in the Hudson Valley. 5 years ago.
Woo-woo.
Right. I mean, 5 years ago, there were what? There were five breweries
yeah.
in the valley. And, you know, right now, if you really broke it down, the amount of acreage that would need to be out there to, let's say, sustain 50% of the usage, we would need something close to 200 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there's probably about 15 acres in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, that's I think that what you had said earlier, you know, people are just – well, is there enough? Is there enough, you know, consumers? Are there customers? Can it handle it? You know, the growth of the beer industry. Well, I think that the customer and consumer have never been in a better position in their lives, because what you said before, it's really going to make breweries step their games up. You know, you're going to want to produce a quality product. You're going to want to produce a local, you know, as much local as you can. Quality orientated, not, you know, as a consumer, as someone who's buying beer, that's great for them. You know, they know that they're getting the best of the best, and I think that it's going to put some pressures on some of the newer breweries coming in, because they're going to have to step their game up right out of the gate. But it's also a good thing for the end user, which is us who are out here drinking the beer.
Definitely,
you know, you know that you're going to get a quality, you know, quality beer, you know, with quality local, you know, hops and ingredients and what have you. But I just wanted to go back what you said earlier, and I know we've touched base on this a little bit, and there's always confusion. And I've been to a couple of SLA, you know, workshops and you know, what have you, summits, I guess they're starting to call it,
sure.
all of these gatherings. But there's, I think it's being a little bit more clearer now, but the farm brewer license that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Can you kind of like explain a little bit about, or all a bit about, you know, what that entails? Because I've personally heard three different versions of the farm brewer's license. I've looked it up on the SLA. I'm starting to get a better grasp of exactly what it is, and it seems like it's kind of extended or deferred for the next 5-10 years, as the growth of, you know, your the hops and or ingredients come into play for the, you know, making of the beer. So,
sure. Well, I'll touch upon some of the areas of the farm brewery license and farm brewery bill that was passed in 2012, which went into effect January 1st of 2013. What that does is, in farm brewery bill, a lot of people have some misconceptions. They think, oh, I got to have a farm in order to have in order to get this farm brewery bill license. But that's not the case. It really is an idea that the governor and governor's office came up with, where if they reduce and relax some of the standards and permits and, you know, typically government, there's a lot of red tape, there's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of paperwork.
No, really?
You know, and I'm sure you've gone through it with your brewery.
Yeah, brutal.
But the farm brewery, what they did was they kind of cut most of that, like, down to a third. So not as much paperwork. If you go with the farm brewery license, it falls underneath Department of Agriculture, not SLA. But the Department of Agriculture and the State Liquor Authority do work together. And from time to time, I have some, you know, clients and some brewers call me up and they say, hey, man, I called these guys up. And sometimes they're not even really clean.
They don't even really know it yet.
They're still kind of learning about it. It's really only been around for about a year now, a year and a half. So they're kind of still figuring it out, and they're tweaking it a little bit. You know, there's some new things that have been happening. And as we go through this process, more breweries are asking about, well, what about this and what about that? And they're kind of adding some things, or some things that were just recently added. But typically what it is, for the most part, you can open up a farm brewery. It could be anywhere. Does not have to be on a farm. You don't have to own a farm. However, you have to utilize 20% today. Currently, it's 20% New York State grown grains and 20% New York grown hops and 20%, let's say, New York yeast, which really isn't going to be a much, but 20% of your all ingredients of your brew minus water. Water, of course, is the majority component of making beer, but you can't say, oh, well, I use 20% New York State water. That qualifies. Well, that's not the case. So it's everything but water. Right now it's 20%. 2018, that number jumps to 80% of ingredients from New York State.
Wow.
60% of New York State ingredients. And then by 2024, it jumps up to 90%.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. So they're anticipating the growth.
So they're anticipating the growth. However, it's pretty unenforceable at this particular juncture because there's really not enough hops, and there's definitely not enough grains in the state in order to subsidize those purchases for the breweries.
Is it realistic to say that what was the next jump? 2018.
Is
it realistic to say that there's going to be enough growers out there to sustain? I mean, at the way that things are growing right now, the breweries are cropping up. Man, I don't know how realistic that might be.
I mean, we talked about 25 breweries here in the Hudson Valley. I mean, out of those 25, only 5 or 6 of them are farm breweries.
Right, okay.
So, you know, my whole thing is, hey, I don't want to preclude anybody from being able to get hops from the Hudson Valley.
Sure.
But, you know, for the most part, I'd like to try to help out our farm brewers first. And somebody like yourself, I mean, you know, Crossroads, they, you know, you guys have a restaurant, you guys have a full bar there with liquor and everything. You know, the farm brewery license probably really doesn't make sense for you.
No.
You know, it makes sense for a guy that's looking to put together maybe a small tasting room and pump out, you know, maybe, you know, have a 3-7 barrel system and pump out some beer. You know, in the past, some of the guys would do some barrels and, you know, unfortunately, you know, brewing, you know, you can make some decent money, but not really selling kegs. I mean, some guys, they may make only 20 to 30 bucks on a barrel that they sell. And, it takes a pretty decent amount of time to deal with those barrels.
There's not much money in the wholesale sector of brewing, that's for sure.
So the farm brewery license, they added a couple of things. They said, okay, well, you can have a tasting room on site at the brewery, you know, at the wholesale location, which in the past you weren't able to do that. And now you could also sell pints on site, so,
which is huge,
yeah.
Big. I
Being
mean,
able
that's
to
tremendous.
Sell, and right now, I mean, it's not like you're not talking about dollar drafts, you know.
Yeah,
you're talking about seven and eight dollar pints of craft beer. You know, that could help a lot of these breweries get into this game.
That opens up your revenue stream immediately. The day you open up the door, you're creating a revenue stream. I didn't have the luxury of that, you know, because when we, you know. When I say we, when Crossroads opened, these laws weren't in effect.
Right.
I would have loved to be able to open up the doors. Essentially, we opened up and we were giving beer away in sample glasses. Giving, not charging. And the only way we were making revenue is if that customer decided that they liked the beer and they wanted to take a growler home of it.
Right.
Right. And then, so we essentially had to open up with a growler revenue stream and a wholesale, you know, and like you said, there's not much money in wholesale, you know. And even when you self-distribute, there's really not that much money because you're still, you know. I mean, you can do a little bit better.
You got fuel and everything you got to deal with, too.
It's to come right out of the gate with these laws seem to have relaxed a little bit for that. To come out of the gate and be able to sell pints, that's an incredible revenue boost. I mean, from the get-go, you know. So I think that, going back to talking about government again, I think that, you know, at least they got their finger on the pulse of what's happening in this, in the industry, which is, you know, refreshing. I mean, really.
Sure.
Especially, I'm part of it, so I like to see the recognition that we're getting. But we're going to take a quick break, and I'd like to come back and talk about specific hops, styles, you know, what everybody's kind of growing, what the soil is capable of producing here in this area. I think that's kind of cool. We'll talk about some beer. We'll talk about the beer we're drinking right now. But yeah, I mean, go grab a beer, sit down, relax. We got a few minutes. We got another 20 minutes left that we'll chew your ear off about hops and beer. Hope everybody's having a good day on this rainy day. But I couldn't think of anything better to do but go grab a beer and sit down and listen to us yammer on about beer. Right?
Right on.
All right, so we'll be back. Bear with us. Let's see. What are we going to play? Yep, that's right. We're going to play a little Mo.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Name of that tune is Buster. That's off the No Doy album, the Mo album. But I wanted to, that song goes on a little bit longer, I think. Right? Yeah. I wanted to just cut in. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ken Landon, the host of the Hudson Valley Top Talk Show. Do this the third Tuesday of every month on WGXC 90.7. I am here with Justin Riccobono, and we were talking beer and hops, beer and hops, beer and hops. And we are back, and we wanted to jump back into this. We were just discussing. I just learned something new, and I want Justin to talk about that. We just poured a beer, a pretty complex beer. I thought that we would, you know, being that we were talking hops today, that I'd bring a little hop assertive beer from Crossroads called the Outrage IPA. Anybody who's had it kind of loves it. I know I love it. It's one of my favorite beers.
I love it. Great.
I mean, people do love it. We won Crossroads, you know, Brewer Hutch has won a couple of awards for this beer. It's a great, great beer. And I was just telling Justin that in this beer alone, we have, there's Simcoe hops, Cascade, Centennial, Citra, Amarillo, and Galaxy. We got six hops in this beer, which makes it a little bit more expensive beer to make. The Amarillo, Simcoe, and Cascade are for the dry hopping, and the aroma are the Centennial and Galaxy. And, of course, did I say that right? Did I say Citra? No, I didn't say Citra yet, did I? The Citra is obviously the main focal.
Aromatic, yeah.
I mean, it's bitter flavor, flavored hop. But Justin was just, and my question to him was, is, okay, out of these hops, what can we get here in the Hudson Valley? And his answer was,
so out of those six, only two of them are utilized, that can be grown here in the region, Centennial and Cascade, which we do grow those over at Dutchess Hops, as well as Ober Creek and Orange County Hops, three of our hop farms that are pretty, probably the most furthest along in the region. And most people are growing those because they are widely used in pretty much every, just about every beer. The other ones, Simcoe, Citra, Amarillo, and Galaxy, those four hop varieties are actually new breeds, fairly recent, you know, fairly new. Within the last, I'd say, 5 to 6 years, they came out. They're actually a patent on those breeds. So there's only a couple farms that are allowed to grow them. There's one company that owns the rights to those breeds by the name of John Haas. They're actually the big and bad scientific end of hop growing and breeding, you know, worldwide. We're actually working with them on a couple of things. They actually helped us get a grant for Vassar College to do some of the analysis of our hops that are being grown here in the region. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
It's good. But some of them are going to come out. Some, you know, just like anything else, you know, the patent office, you can only patent something for a certain amount of time, and then you got to kind of let it go, and then other people can grow them. Or you work out a partnership, and we're working on both of those options.
So essentially, if you worked on a partnership, it would still be grown under their patent. It's just that you'd be growing.
Right,
for
I'd have
them.
To cut it. We'd have to cut them in. We'd have
right.
to cut them in on the sales.
Wow, I never knew that. That's kind of interesting to me. So you essentially own the rights to those breed of hops.
Yeah.
Nobody else can grow them. They're mine. I also had on this list a Falconer's Flight. Hutch had said he occasionally uses that, which is I didn't talk to him real much about it, but I guess it's a hybrid hop or a mix. I don't know, but that gets thrown in there as well.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know too much. I don't know too much of the Falconer's Flight. I'm not sure if it's a. I have not seen that available for me to grow from some of my growers that are out there where I get my hop plants from. But it might be some kind of strain that's been hybridized. I mean, most of them are even Cascade's a hybrid. You know, Cascade is basically a Fuggle that was bred out to be a little bit more citrusy and be able to be more disease resistant than some of the others. And that's what a lot of these new hops that are coming out. I mean, Cascade's only 1971 is when that that was developed. So we're still kind of in a new era of some of these hops, and now we could start developing and growing them and get better yields here in the Hudson Valley as well as other places in the world.
Now the soil here, can it accept all of these breeds of hops essentially, or does one breed have to?
Well, I'm sure most of them will. I'm sure they'll all grow here, no problem. I think the real question is it going to be worth it? At the end of the day, you know, in Dutchess County, let's say versus Columbia or Greene County, real estate's a lot more expensive. So if I have a farm in Dutchess County, of course, I'm going to want to grow something that's going to be able to yield me the top dollar
right out there.
I mean, I could grow some of the noble hops from Germany, Saz, Tettnang, or Hallertau, but you know, they're not huge producers. Saz, I want to say, at its ideal environment, can produce maybe close to 750 to 1,000 pounds of dry hops, where Cascade can go anywhere from 2,100 to 3,500 pounds.
I got you.
So, you know, if we're getting, you know, $10 to $15 a pound on hops, I'm going to want to go with the stuff that I can produce a lot more.
Sure.
So there's about 20 that we've found so far, but there's some other ones that we're working on, and we've found and identified about five or six heritage hops here in the Hudson Valley.
But I would imagine that if the demand continues to grow for a specific hop, that you guys are going to attempt to grow it.
That's true. Yes, of course.
You know,
and as prices prices are probably going to inflate a little bit, because you know we're not the only region that's growing with breweries. I mean, everywhere in the country more and more breweries are happening and coming around, and there's not enough hops to go around. So that's only going to increase the price ultimately at some point.
The majority of the hops are coming from overseas, yeah.
Well, 90% of all hops here in the United States are coming from Pacific Northwest. So Oregon, Idaho, and Washington states.
That's an awful lot of hops.
Yeah. I mean, and now Australia's growing hops. New Zealand's got some phenomenal breeds. Japan, the Sriracha Ace, people love that.
Yeah,
and then of course Germany and England are some of the bigger.
You mentioned just now Prague, right? You said before Prague.
Yeah, that section. That's Bavaria, the old Bavaria region. Yep. That was like the original area, which is between Munich and Prague, which is Czech Republic and Germany. So that's got to be great spot. I haven't been there yet, but
that's
I definitely
on the list.
Plan to take.
Wish
oh
list?
Yeah, it's on the list. Well, it's a business trip.
Yeah. Well, as you said, you don't think in your lifetime you're going to be able to learn everything there is to know about what's going on in this industry. You
sure.
Know? It's a lot of stuff happening, man. But we were just also talking. I'm going back to Justin's card. It's Hudson Valley Hops. I know that you are a co-founder of Dutchess Hops. Right?
Right.
With Carmine.
Yes.
So now this is you now, right? Hudson Valley Hops.
It is. So I'm still working with Carmine and Dutchess Hops as co-founder, and I want to help him be able to distribute his hops as well as, all the other farms here in the region. But, figuring out the best ways to grow, when to fertilize, when to harvest, best drying practices, analyzing with the groups of Vassar College and Cornell Cooperative Extension. We're working with the culinary to work on some other things as well. But it's an exciting time, and now we're Hudson Valley Hops is starting out, and we're gonna have a pretty big announcement in the next two months. Before the end of the year, just kind of let everybody know what our portfolio is. We've had a lot of people that want to invest in the agriculture area that don't have farms, and then we have farmers that want to grow but don't have money. So, we're putting an investment portfolio together for investors, and people are going to be excited. And you could check out our website at hvhops.com. We're kind of just starting to put it together, but feel free to get on there and shoot me an email if you like, put you on our list and keep you posted.
I like to, you know what? That's a nice little quick glimpse of the near future. You know, what's the, what do you feel your direction going forward with this? I mean, obviously the sky's the limit. Where do you see yourself in, you know, 3-5 years from now? Obviously, let's say you'll still be doing this.
Sure.
You know, you're not moving on to anything else. But what where do you see this going? I mean, you're in there. You're in the trenches. You know what's going on. Do you see this trend slowing down at all? Do you see you guys just kind of like exploding in growth?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, as far as you got, you know, as far as the brewers go, I see a lot more. There's at least another 6 breweries, I think, in planning. People have contacted me and asked me about hops, and I think that trend's gonna slow down eventually. But it's gonna be the best of the best are gonna, the creme de la creme is gonna rise to the top at the end of the day. But I think, I mean, distilleries now are
exploding.
Are off the hook. I mean, there were like 2 distilleries last year. Now they're like 12.
Yeah.
And because they've also relaxed a lot of the laws with that, and cider houses as well. So I think this whole beverage industry is all working out. But, you know, where I see myself in 3 years, I mean, I love this industry. I mean, you guys are great. I mean, all the brewers have been fantastic and extremely supportive. And it's a really cool atmosphere to work with you know, everybody. You know, I really want to try to get up to 100 or 200 acres of hops.
Nice.
Growing in the region. But I also want to start figuring out and getting involved with the whole grains movement too, because I think that's going to be a bigger challenge than hops.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that have a lot of land and they're interested in grains. So I don't want to discount that, because I think that's also a big part of this whole revolution is, you know, if you could get both hops and grains out there, you know, we can really.
I think the closest house is in Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken, right? The greenhouse.
The closest one, yes. I mean, there's a guy over in, I guess, outside of Binghamton that's got a spot, but he just opened his own brewery now, so he's going to be eating up all of his own grains.
Yeah.
So he's got a malt house there. There's a couple other ones that I've heard that are in planning, but that is a project that I'm also, it's kind of on the radar. It's like another phase of the program. But also getting a malt house here in the Hudson Valley and really bringing in some quality malts.
That'd be huge. That's the next thing that I keep hearing at all of these summit meetings. You know, we need a good, you know, malt house, grain house, this, that. We need more grain. And I'm like, man, I think that the trend's going to be eventually people are going to buy a boatload of land. They're going to open up farm breweries, and they're going to grow everything themselves right on their property.
Well, like Evan Watson over at Plan B down in Fishkill, he's 100% New York. He grows most of his own stuff. He just still does have to supplement with some other from other farms, but he, you know, he's got a small one barrel system, but he's pumping out some unbelievable beer. And he doesn't really want to get that big.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of has that idea of, you know what, I want people to come to me to try my beer, kind of like old school style. He's not really into the distribution component of it.
That's good. It's overrated.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, there's so many beers on the shelves now. I mean,
build it, they will come.
Right.
Right. So I guess, where are we? We're just at about 3 o'clock. But I want to thank Justin Riccobono from Hudson Valley Hops for coming up.